Here's some questions for God by some children. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed in the church. Is that okay? Dear God, I think about you sometimes even when I'm not praying. God, thank you for the baby brother, but I prayed for a puppy. Dear God, if you give me a genie lamp like Aladdin, I'll give you anything you want except for my money and my chessat. Dear God, please send Dennis Clark to a different camp next year. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works for me and my brother. So there it is, the solution of how to prevent siblings from killing each other. Just give them their own separate rooms. How do we learn to love others that are different than us? Let's pray. God, I don't think any of us are looking for more hardship to come our way. But these difficulties often help shape us in our perspective about life and your involvement with us and our neighbor. Give us the strength to overcome while responding graciously to all we endure. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Text today is in 1 John 5, 1 to 5. Ernie's going to put it up. She'll be able to follow along. I'm going to read it to you. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The world, whether 2,000 years ago, as John writes to churches of Asia Minor, or today, confront us with hardships. How is the church to respond to those who were attacking them from within and without? What would indicate a difference between them and those who were attacking them? The obvious answer was how they chose to respond to the difficult situations. When we respond in love to our so-called enemies, we will never lose whether they choose to respond in kind or not. We create a bridge of peace which offers an opportunity for forgiveness and possibly reconciliation. 1 John 5, 1 and 2, we're informed that to love God is to love his children. Verse 1 starts by saying, everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God or is a child of God. One of the indicators that a person is a son or a daughter of God is that they believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of God. Romans 3, 23, 24 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his great grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. The New Living puts it like this, for all have sinned, all fall short of God's glorious standards. Yet now God, in his gracious kindness, declares us not guilty. He has done this through Jesus Christ, who has freed us by taking away our sin. John goes on to say in verse 1, everyone who loves a parent loves the child. If you have ever had good friends, or maybe a son or daughter of yours that has a child, it's hard not to completely love this little creature. Why is this the case? Even when you do not have a relationship with a little one yet. It's because we have such positive relationships with the parents that we naturally embrace this child in love. I can remember the first baby I ever felt comfortable holding. It was my sister's baby girl, Sherry. She's almost a senior citizen today. Not really. If we look close, we can see characteristics in the child that reminds us of the parents. Just like we love the children of our friends, John says that those who have a relationship with God the Father should love the Son, Jesus Christ, and all those who've been adopted into the family of God. If we truly love God and have a healthy, growing relationship, we can love those who identify themselves as the followers of Christ. In verse 2, John continues by saying, by this we know that we love, that the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments, just like a man or woman who delights in pleasing their spouse, or a child delights in pleasing their parent. Can I say that again? Or a child that delights in pleasing their parent. Followers of Jesus delight in pleasing God. Because of our loving and safe relationship with God, we know to follow His commandments are in our best interest. By allowing God's love to pour into our lives, we begin loving others the way that God loves us. Proverbs 13:6 says, "Godliness guards the path of the blameless, but the evil are misled by sin." To love God is to obey His commandments. To obey His commandments is to love other brothers and sisters in Christ. Watchman Nee was a great Christian follower that came out of China. He tells a story of a rice farmer and his fields on a high mountain. Every morning he'd pump water high into the mountain into his rice paddies. And every morning he returned to find his unbelieving neighbor who lived down the hill opened the dikes surrounding the Christian's field and let all the water out into his own field. For a while the Christian ignored the injustice, but at last he became desperate. What should he do? His own rice fields would die if this continued happening. The Christians met and prayed and came up with a solution. The next morning, the Christian farmer rose earlier than usual and first filled his neighbor's fields, and then he attended to his own. Watchman Nee tells how the neighbor became a Christian, his unbelief overcome by a genuine demonstration of a Christian's love for another. 1 John 3, 3-5. We're encouraged the victory that we will experience in this life is based on our faith. John picks up where he left off in verse 3 by saying, "For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Or as the New Living puts it, loving God means keeping His commandments, and really, that isn't difficult. This is not to say God's commandments are not challenging. They are. They are impossible to carry out in our own strength. But it's God's power flowing through our lives that makes all the difference. This is how it says it in Deuteronomy 30, 11 to 14. "This commandment I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, 'Who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey it?' It's not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, 'Who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey it?' No, the message is very close at hand. It's on your lips. It's in your heart, so you can obey it. From the time we wake in the morning until when we sleep at night, we choose if we're going to move toward Christ or away from Him by our choices. We can ask ourselves, 'Is the decision I'm about to make going to lead me toward glorifying God and honoring others? Or is it going to feed my selfish living and my personal gain?' God's ways look beyond the immediate gratification to the long-term outcome or fallout of such actions. It becomes clearly obvious whether the love of God is flowing in our lives by our actions. Do we love our neighbors as ourselves? Will we sacrifice our gain to protect another? 1 John 5:4, it says, "Whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith." The New Living says it like this: "For every child of God defeats the evil world by trusting Christ to give the victory." How is it that we can be victorious and overcomers in this life when we are constantly swimming against a stream of our culture? It is like through our faith, it happens through our faith in Christ. In the book, Letters from a Skeptic, Gregory Boyd is writing his dad, who's trying to understand the Christian faith. And he says this: "I'm wondering if you have a misconception about the kind of faith certainty involves, Dad. No matter what people believe, their belief will go beyond what the evidence requires them to believe. That is why it is a belief and not certainty. This is true. Whether a person believes Christianity or not, on an intellectual level, both positions involve some degree of risk. The question is, which belief has the best evidence to support it? The secret in being able to overcome all that has gone wrong in our world and our lives is our faith in Christ. It is in Jesus that we find the power to obey God's commands. As a result, they are not burdensome to us. There are few things more difficult for a child than when they're asked to do a task on their own that they've never done before. But when a father or mother takes the child by the hand and they do it together, it becomes an adventure because of the relationship. God does not ask us to do it on our own. Rather, we can place our trust in Christ to partner with us in all that is before us. In every way, as we invite Jesus to partner with us, he takes our hand and walks together with us. The text includes in verse 5 by asking the question, who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The victory that we can experience in the Christian life is not about us in the dark and hardened world. It is all about the transforming power of Christ slowly changing us to be more like God and less like the old way in which we thought and lived. Unless you keep a regular journal, it might be difficult to recognize how much you've really changed over the process of allowing God to do the inner work in your life, in my life. We can experience victory in this life amidst the hardships, the disappointments, and the hurts, because nothing can steal the most valuable part of our existence, which is our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. Tony Campola tells about some homeless teenagers in the Philadelphia streets that beat a Korean honor student to death. He was doing graduate work in medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. His parents flew all the way from Korea to be in part of the court case. At the end, they asked for an opportunity to speak. The guilty verdict came in, and the parents rose, and then they knelt before the judge. Before a stunned audience, these parents begged the judge to release their son's murderers to them, so they could give the boys a home and care for them in a way they had never had. They were Christians, they explained to the judge, and they wanted to show something of the grace they had received from God to those who had done such grievous evil to them. Only the love and grace of God would allow these parents to respond in such a way to the ones that killed their son. Only the love and grace of God will allow us to love others the way we should. As John is writing the churches in Asia Minor, he affirms that their love for the Father will naturally lead these Christians to love God's children, to love each other, and that this love would cause these followers of Jesus to obey his commands, to be Christ-like in all the things they do and say and think. John's final thoughts is they can overcome and be victorious in this life. What does this mean for us? This text draws some obvious conclusions. Do we love the Christian community, our brothers and sisters in Christ, the same way that we love God? Matthew 20, 25. Jesus called his disciples together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be the greatest among you must be the servant. Whoever wants to be the first must be the slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Who here wants to be the servant of all? If we truly love God, it'll be evident by how we serve and sacrifice for one another. It's easy to be critical, to be unkind of each other, believing somehow that we see more clearly than everyone else. But this is not God's way. The Spirit of Christ comes gently, calling us with his love, melting our hardness with his mercy and forgiveness. We need to continue learning how to affirm each other while being graciously humble in what the Master pours into our hands. Secondly, how is it that we become victorious in our world that seems so driven by power, profit, and promiscuity? We initially have overcome the world, and that we allowed the light of God's truth to enter our lives. The old way of thinking and living becomes less and less appealing. The second way in which we experience victory is through the day-to-day choices we make. Every time we make a decision that takes us toward Christ, it also takes us one more step away from the old patterns and habits that were seeking to destroy us. It is Christ living within us that gives us the power of the Holy Spirit, to help us over habitual sin. How does this happen, we might ask? When we wake up in the morning, we can call upon the Spirit of Christ to empower us, to fill us for all we're about to encounter that day. We don't leave our apartment every morning, going on our way, doing our own thing, and then checking back with God at the end of the day. Now, as representatives of the kingdom of God, we watch for the Holy Spirit to direct us through the day, to guide us, to lead us in loving our world. In the New Testament, Jesus says over and over, his mission is to do the will of the Father, and so is ours. And the Father's will was all about engaging in relationship with Jesus and then anyone Jesus encountered. We need to rethink putting in time at school, at our jobs, to realize that we are on a kingdom business, representing Jesus in all we do. We surrender ourselves to his will and leading in our lives. We start to become conscious of Christ's presence with us in all that happens, whether good or bad. We want to love and serve others the way Christ pours himself out for us. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the forgiveness that we've experienced through Christ. We are grateful for all the changes that have happened within us already. Come do your complete work in our lives. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, in darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great. How great is our God! And age to age he stands, and time is in His hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, and Son. The Lion and the Lamb. Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
If I held my niece as a baby and she's a senior citizen and I'm not a senior citizen, you guys were slow on the uptake today. I'm just going to read this passage in Romans just before Jackson comes. It's Romans 6, 3 to 8. Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ in baptism, we were joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we've been united with him in his death, we'll also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We no longer are slaves to sin. When we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. Amen. Jackson's going to come.
My name is Jackson
Clausen. Have to go closer to the mic.
Hello, my name is Jackson Clausen, and I am 11 years old. I have gone to this church and Sunday school all my life, and I have became a Christian a few years ago when my older brother and sister helped me ask Jesus into my heart. I am very thankful I've grown up in a Christian family, and I have my grandpas to answer any of my questions. I've been learning to love God by serving him and trying to help people in need, like volunteering for Meals on Wheels. He has also helped me give the strength and courage to get through tough times. My biggest struggle that has been weighing me down is anxiety. But God has given me the verse, Mark 12, verse 30, which says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This also gave me the encouragement when my grandma sadly passed away, because I could see that she had no fear because she loved God with all of her strength. I know that Jesus died on the cross to save me from my sins, but I want to publicly declare my desire to follow him and be baptized.
For all those of you who think you've been coming to church for a long time, there aren't very many of us that can say, I've been going to church here all my life. Come, Jackson. Okay. Hang on to this when you go in. It's perfect. Okay, kneel. Jackson, by the confession of your own faith, my question to you, is it your desire to follow Jesus all the days of your life? Then, under the power of God's grace and goodness, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Okay. Well done, Jackson. Sandra's going to come now. You're good.
Hi, my name is Sandra Lee Stimson. I wanted to change my life, so I asked my dad if I could move in with him June 25th on my birthday. I wanted to go to church and Bible study. My dad helped me do that. I lost my wallet and prayed to God so he could help me find it. Me and my dad looked everywhere and we couldn't find it. We looked the truck everywhere, and I went downstairs at the end of my bed, and I kicked my foot, and there was my wallet, so I'm very thankful for that. So I know he's living in with me, and this is a verse from John 19, love you are love because he loved us first.
Sandra, again, is a great story of there's somebody out there that impacts our lives, and it changes our whole direction of becoming a Christ follower. And so when you think about your own encounters, and you may be the person that talks to that next person that shifts the whole direction of our lives because of Christ. Okay, come, Sandra. You did perfect. Sandra, by the confession of your own faith, is it your desire to follow Jesus all the days of your life? Well, then I will baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, go straight ahead. Perfect. Okay, watch step. Hold here. glasses. Here, I'll take that. Okay, that was a Kodak moment. Jessica's going to come.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jessica Hauer, for those of you who don't know me. Sorry, I'm so nervous. I remember my first time reading the scriptures. It was the children's Bible, and I was reading the Gospels. I was 26 at the time. I know what you're thinking. You're only 25. growing up, I was... I'm going to just put this down. I was raised in a family that weren't Christians. My parents left the opportunity for us to get baptized or choose our religion when we got older. So while I didn't grow up knowing Christ, I did live in a house that was full of kindness, forgiveness, and love. So I think that really shaped me to be able to know Christ as I got older. I lived a life of a lot of sin as a young adult, and I had pretty much no regard for anybody but myself. It wasn't until I met a very outspoken Christian, my husband Josiah, who encouraged me to get to know God and at least explore faith. So I took this as an opportunity. I thought maybe, if anything, it'd be educational. So I started an alpha group. I met a great group of people who, for the years to follow, were part of a great Bible study and really influential. Sorry, I can't say it. Influential in getting to know Christ. And even then, I still kind of felt like, was I an imposter? Was I just pretending to be a Christian? There was a significant moment that I realized that I was. I consciously prayed to God to get me out of a float tank. If you've ever been in one, it's kind of sensory deprivation, and I was having really bad anxiety. I was like, please, Jesus, turn the light on, and boop, it was on. So that was just such a small prayer answered, but it was the one that really affirmed that I believed in Christ. Since finding Christ, I've had to work through a lot of the decisions I made before knowing him, and I think through his healing grace, I was only able to do that. I've seen his light in my marriage, and it's given me strength and forgiveness and understanding to be able to raise children together and patience and energy for them. I'm thankful to have all of you here with me as I make my commitment to Christ. And shout out to my sister-in-law for making the trip, my one family member that made it. I wrote this down. I'm shaking. I desire with all that I am and all that I have to follow Jesus all the days of my life. Thank you.
It's not cold. Don't believe any of those gasps. Well, actually, the electrocutional machine was in here earlier, but it just didn't get in early enough. So, but that's right. That's right. Jess, by the confession of your own faith, is it your desire to follow Jesus all the days of your life? Well, then I will baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. a couple announcements. Again, if you want prayer this morning, there'll be somebody in the back corner. As well, our children's program's coming in August, and so if you know of any kids that can come, you can contact us. We're praying for all the children that are coming and all those who are serving and helping. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing how we live our lives will reflect a lot about what we believe about Jesus. We're going to sing one more song. You'll be dismissed. Amen.
Please stand as we close.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that will never run dry. Drink of the water, come now and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy, come to the table he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him. Praise him for the wonders of his love. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him for the wonders of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. For God so loved the world that he gave us, his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated, now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world.
Have a good week, everybody.